DW Africa Link.
Is Tanzania ready for one of East Africa's biggest electoral moments? After 2 months of rallies, promises, and political maneuvering, Tanzania's official campaign period has come to a close. Now, as the nation counts down to Election Day, that's on the 29th of October, tension and anticipation fill the air. Who will win the hearts of more than 30 million registered voters? And how will young Tanzanians, mini-voting for the first time, shape the country's political future? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
President Samia Suluhu Hassan is on the ballot for the first time since taking office in 2021. Now, to refresh your memory, she was vice president and stepped in after the death of her predecessor, John Magufuli. Her ruling party, Chama Chama Mapinduzi, CCM for short, which is Swahili for Party of the Revolution, has dominated Tanzanian politics for decades. 17 presidential candidates are cleared to run, but with main opposition parties like Chadema and Wazalendo sidelined, the race tilts heavily toward the ruling CCM. Still, this election is one of Tanzania's most closely watched in recent years as opposition parties hope to chip away at decades of dominance. This is a test of continuity versus change. Let's bring in Patenus Nyegira, a political analyst based in Tanzania, and DW's Faida Ngaga, our correspondent in Dar es Salaam. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. Let me start with you, Faida. You covered campaign events across Tanzania ahead of elections. Can you share some of the highlights with us? What stood out for you?
So generally, the campaigns were conducted peacefully, and the parties that hosted people in the campaigns, the 18 parties which are participating in this year's general elections, they went generally peacefully. But the things that really stood out were the fact that the main opposition party in Tanzania, Chadema, did not this year participate in the elections. So there wasn't generally much varying views or much opposition with regards to the campaigning across the country. So CCM seems to be dominating the campaigns, even though all the other parties which are participating, the 18 parties, have been, gathering people have been going to the rallies. But you can see the mood, the atmosphere that the main ruling party is gathering more crowds and gathering more support.
Right. When we talk about campaign, people are always concerned about the security situation. You know, is there anything to highlight on that front?
Yes. So the security was actually great. So I managed to go to almost four regions. So here in Dar es Salaam, I went to Geita, I went to Mwanza and Morogoro, all these regions which are far apart. There seemed to be peaceful rallies. So there wasn't any security concerns. The people went to listen to the manifestos, to listen to the promises that the leaders had. And even when you pulled aside for interviews, the people who attended the rallies, you know, those who were supporting their candidates seemed to be satisfied with the condition of the security and, what they were hearing from the leaders.
Right. Thank you very much, Faida, for laying that down. I would also want to come to you then, Patenus. I want to find out from you how this campaign season differs or differed since it's ended from previous other campaigns.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, there is a serious difference here when you compare 2020, 2015. There is some kind of talk on security matters, especially there has been some abductions and the disappearances which had started earlier on, not because of the campaign, making a little bit of the mood around the campaigning to be not so good. And so therefore, it has been such of its nature. And this is the major difference, because you can't get contending views from the people, because the opposition and the people and the followers of opposition are like, this election is not there. So you find it's almost a one talk. And of course, these other 18 parties, 17 parties, when you take away the ruling party, Chama Cha Mapinduzi, CCM to say, they are not just in, they are small parties, which most of them just get to be on highlight during the time of campaigning and the election. So this is what is happening. And so far, so good. On the other side of how the campaign has been conducted, good. There has been no too much of a incisive kind of languages or language which can put a plantation on fire. So this is the difference.
What do you sense in terms of how strong the opposition is based on how the campaigning went?
The ruling party dwarfed the others because of its campaign. And you know, CCM has been there for some good time. Almost now we are getting up to 50 years. So it is the party with the enough resources, with the credible people, with the all these structures which make any party to participate in the election very well with the resources. That's number one. But number two, these parties in their nature, they have not been there for some long time. When you look at the 2020 elections and below, these parties were not active, and they were not active in the in the sense that we call them the minor or small parties. So when you look at the major two parties, for example, Chadema vis-a-vis ACT Wazalendo, these are the parties which speak out in a larger volume with its sense of calling and the voice. So themselves not having a candidate to participate in the general election, becomes something hard to attract the attention of many. So CCM will always remain being strong as you compare to these other parties.
So Faida, I'm just wondering if there were any standout moments or turning points, you know, that seemed to shift public opinion during the campaign, or, you know, a moment in time where when you spoke to people, they felt, now it's clear who I'm going to vote for.
Generally, when the campaigns started, I guess people had, they were expecting to see at least strong candidate, or rather candidates with like a kind of similar weight. But then when the campaign started, and then the people started hearing all these manifestos and the promises, you know, some of them are starting to get a feel that the other candidates are not there on a serious manner, because some of the or the promises that have been made include, for instance, one of the opposition candidates said if he gets into office, he will establish a place which will basically have crocodiles in the state house that will he will throw in all the people who are embezzling public funds, you know, something like that. Those are some of the promises that the candidates of the opposition are, you know, laying out to the people. So, you know, some people, especially youth, have been getting this feel that some of these candidates are not there to compete. On the surface level, they don't look like they can be feasible. They're feasible, you know. So this has been the feel. It's kind of not made in a serious manner to the people. So they feel like, okay, only Chama Cha Mapinduzi, the ruling party, is laying out manifestos and promises which seem reasonable or feasible, but then the other parties are doing it for whatever reason, laying promises which are not practical. And some of them even, they may break the law. So this has been like the mounting feeling from the introduction of the candidates to the campaigns and to now.
Interesting. It seems to me, Faida, that you're suggesting that the opposition seem very weak, and that voters are clearly going for the party that has been in power for decades. Is that a fair assessment, or is it still a case of, well, you never know, you could be surprised?
There's different camps of people. There's different blocks of people. So there are people who are saying, okay, we're going to go with the ruling party because it's been there, it's experienced, you know. And there are people who are saying, we want to have an opposition, but since it's not there, so what do we do? Maybe we're just not going to show up to vote. And there are people who are saying, okay, so there isn't any strong opposition, so we're going to get out of the house on the 29th of October and we're going to the streets. You know, and there are people who are scared. They're saying, okay, I'm just going to be inside because I don't understand any of this. Due to the clear imbalance in the power between the ruling party and the remaining 17 opposition parties.
Thanks for that, Faida. So, Patenis, tell us more about how the ruling CCM has positioned itself ahead of the election.
Thank you so much. The CCM is always like that. It's positioning itself with the, we can say, at the higher bar that is going actually to win with the 90% and above. As Faida Ngaga said, when you look at the nature of the candidates we have and the quality of their manifestos and in their speeching, there can be no turning back that, you know, unless we go for them. There will be no any miracle. But when you look at what actually CCM has done, you know, they are coming out through these tabloid of things of what they have been doing. They have credible amounts of statistics to be voted back with the big percentage if you compare with the rest. They talk of schools, they talk of hospitals, they talk of roads construction at the level of a tarmac. They speak of employment. They speak of people with special needs, what they have done to them. They speak of how to manage the whole concept of peace and settlement in the country. They speak of many things of which, when you look at them through a good lens of political analyst, you get to believe and to accept that in October 29th, obviously they are coming back with a high percentage, and nobody can stop them on that. Because if we had those two political parties, I've told you, with they are strong candidates and they have attracted a good number of followers, we could say it would be 50-50. But now, beyond repair, it is above 90%.
Now, that is, it seems both of us are talking about an election, which is what, in a week's time? And it seems it's clear that the ruling CCM may be retaining the power. But let's not jump the gun yet. We'll still have to wait and see on and after election day. But still with you, Patenis, we've seen young people making their voices heard. I mean, the Gen Z, Generation Z, Tanzania, like many African countries, is filled with so many young people. And they are somehow making their voices heard online, social media. How significant has the youth engagement and social media been in shaping voter sentiment, if it has at all?
Yes, it has, because it has shaken up the the authority here. They are speaking by and large that 29th of October, you know, there has been a high move from the social media that we are not going to vote. Instead, we have demonstrations. And some of the people who are behind this move, they are the elders across the world, some from America, some from Europe, and some from wherever they are. But they are picking it. The Gen Z of Tanzania are picking it in the sense for those users. But it has started now affecting the whole spectrum of things in the country. When you look at the recent police statement, it was bitterly against such a move. You hear a candidate from Chama Mapinduzi, CCM. Even yesterday, here in Dar es Salaam, she spoke it largely that there will be nothing, and whoever tries to get out will face the consequences. So when you hear that, they are winning up. they are taking up. It is eating up the nerves of the authority. It is eating up the nerves of the leadership of this country. And because of what has been happening in neighboring countries and the world across from the Gen Z, it cannot be trusted that nothing will happen. However, Tanzania has been so peaceful for some good time since independence, and we got our independence without shed of blood. So dialogue and sitting together has been a part of our tradition when it comes to solving the political problems which happen due to elections. But generally, we say we can't undermine anything. Anything may happen. And there's been an outcry, as I have said, from the disappearances and these abductions. Actually, these are the things which are making the majority and the people speak against and ill of this government and this campaign, because there is not even a single mention of that during all these almost 2 months of their campaign. No ruling party, any candidate who have stood boldly to speak about abductions and the forced disappearances and the such kind of that of things. But what has been heard is the language attached to it against those who are speaking of going against the 29 voting day, peace and settlement of that nature. So the Gen Z, we are yet to see, but we don't have that culture in the country. Maybe it may start during this time.
Right. Faida, there's a lot going on in my mind right now, right? Because indeed, the elephant in the room when you talk about Tanzania's upcoming elections is indeed the abductions. And then you have campaigning period when you feel like the opposition should be highlighting this as ways of saying, hey, maybe under this government, there were issues here and here like this. But that's not happened. And you would expect the Gen Z to be very vocal about things that they consider not right. But it sounds to me from what you're saying that hasn't really been the case, has it? And I'm just wondering why.
So there has been talk like on social media where some influential, some just you know, young people, you know, talking about we need to raise a voice, or a voice has to be out there about the people who are being abducted, because if the situation stays like this, then no one is safe. So there has been those talks. But with regards to the campaigning and the candidates, there hasn't been much talk. Now, my guess would be maybe fear, maybe they're leaving the task to the right authorities to deal with. Some of the leaders, when they are asked in interviews, for instance, some of the leaders who can speak on behalf of the government, they say, okay, the right authorities are doing their best, you know, to bring back the people who have been abducted. So that is the voice that we hear when journalists ask questions. So I'm guessing that there is even fear, like, to ask questions and to talk about what really transpired, because people get a sense of if high-profile people are being abducted, then what would happen to me if I start voicing out? Some things like that. So I think fear is the real reason why there isn't much talk, even in the media.
Does that make you concerned, Faida, that you're even talking about it?
Of course. It is concerning, is what I can say. It is concerning. So hopefully something will change, because it's like there is no one person who can be looked at to make that actual change. Like, no one knows who to ask to make that change. So people are just here, you know, scared, fearful, and just, you know, quiet so that it doesn't happen to them or their loved ones. So yes, it's kind of concerning. It's really concerning. But everyone is just hopeful that, you know, the situation gets better. And also the people who have been disappeared, you know, come back. Also the authorities, like the police force, you know, and the Tanzania People's Defense Forces, you know, has come out and, you know, ensure that, tell people or reassure people that, you know, everything is okay, you know, the Tanzania is safe, and, you know, even the, you know, the whole country, even the boundaries and everywhere, it's okay. So, you know, so I guess, you know, what people can do now is just listen to the authorities that are saying, that are reassuring that things are going to get better and the people who have been abducted are going to be found at the end of the day.
Right. Well, Faida, I definitely would not want to get you into any trouble. So, but it's only the elephant in the room. There are issues, there are challenges that people are talking about, and it's only fair that we raise it, and that and also it helps give a feel of the atmosphere, how much people are comfortable to discuss some of the challenges in the country. I'm going to come to you, Patenis. Let's give Faida a bit of a break, right, to breathe in and out. Tanzanians, or some of them at least, have expressed worries about fairness and transparency ahead of the elections. Are those concerns justified, you think?
Yes, their concerns are justified because it has been a cry of opposition since the first March party election 1995 that the electoral system is not fair for both participants. And so, therefore, it cannot bring results which are favoring both parties. And it has been so in 2005, 2010, 15, but it has not been so much until 2015, 2020. The elections in 2020 was the Electoral Commission showed a highest sense of not coming out clear without being biased in some sense. So due to that, a new amendment were done, I think 2023, if not 2024, which the proposals of which were laid down, for example, by opposition party called Chadema, the major opposition party, were to do some changes in the Electoral Commission, especially on the people who are going to supervise at the same time to announce starting the chair and the other team. So the government came with some changes. First, it changed the name from Electoral Commission to the Independent National Electoral Commission, and changed those who were actually appointed by the president not to be appointed by the president. They should be proposed and the president should assent, of which in one way or the other is being translated as nothing has changed, because these are the people who are from within the system and not from individuals or from both parties, to ensure that there will be an unbiased kind of conduct.
We're recording this on the 22nd of October. That's exactly a week from today that the elections will be happening in Tanzania. What should we be looking out for, you know, both voters on the ground and observers abroad? What are the things to expect?
Thank you. I think is the situation to remain calm as it is. And during the election day, on the election day, not to have demonstrations, which has been spoken to be illegal by the authority, because I know a lot will be killed. There will be some casualties if they try. And we expect the CCM to come back as it has been. No more that. So incitive kind of languages from today, or from this 22nd, should not be there, so that at least we lower down the pressure which we have, so that on 29th we have a safe and a balancing kind of elections where there will be no casualties. And from then out, CCM had proposed to have the National Reconciliation Committee together with a move towards a new constitution. So then we can begin from there to usher our struggles towards a fair and safe elections.
Right. Thank you for that. Faida, your final words, a week to go to elections, logistics, security preparations, ballot boxes, and all of that. Is Tanzania ready?
Of course, of course. Tanzania is ready to head to the polls. And, you know, people who want to, or people who are eligible, people who have been registered to vote for the desired candidate, you know, some of them are showing enthusiasm, you know, to go and vote for their desired candidate. And also, you know, we have been assured here, even yesterday by the president herself and also the candidate through the CCM party that, you know, you shouldn't be scared to go to vote on the 29th of October. You should show up in number and everything is going to be all right. She even used the statement, "I am the commander in chief and I assure you that you will all be safe and that there will not be any disruptions or any violence." You know, taking from all that and taking from the culture that Tanzania has, you know, as a Tanzanian who was born and raised here, I can see that Tanzania is ready and, you know, people should exercise their rights. And also the security forces should also do their due diligence, that everything will be all right.
Okay. We will wait and see how things develop. 1 week to go to elections. Thank you very much, Patenis Niagira, political analyst based in Tanzania. And also many thanks to you, DW's Faida Ngaga in Dar es Salaam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Abductions and forced disappearances and torture have been widely reported in the run-up to Tanzania's October 29th vote, with rights groups warning that repression is undermining the credibility of the election. They also warn that a broader crackdown on the opposition and media voices could undermine public trust in the process. At the same time, the country's young voters, often called Generation Z or Gen Z, make up nearly half of the electorate. Many are digital natives, first-time voters, and job-hunting graduates calling for accountability and reform. Their voices could redefine Tanzania politics if they turn out. We'd love to hear from you, so share your thoughts with us on Facebook at dw.com. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Josie Mahachi, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for minds.